Flathead this week. Monty and I sitting down talking about several topics coming up. You know, last week, Monty, there was a bunch of things that came out that we didn't get a chance to review just because it came out later in the week. And one of the things that came up to me that jumped out really, I was actually kind of surprised about it, was Jen Psaki out of the White House was talking about deplatforming people that they didn't agree with. The White House was actually out there monitoring people's posts, and then they were sending it over to Facebook to basically deplatform them or take down their posts. And I was stunned by the fact that Jen Psaki over at the White House would actually come out and say, not only should you be banned at Facebook, but every other platform, every other major platform, straight across the board. And so when I think about stuff that we do, and I think about the stuff that everybody else done, and what we've done in the past, is it, you know, really, you just don't know what misinformation could be. And one of the things that we, you know, one of the things that happens intrinsically, what we talk about today with whatever it is we might be getting, right, with the real information that we might have, you know, unlike the complete Trump, you know, dossier story that was out there, you know, the Trump-Russian collusion, all that crap that was coming out, you know, what we talk about today, we try to go out with what the real information is. But if we find out tomorrow, right, that that information isn't necessarily what was portrayed by the lying media to us 9 times out of 10, and then the next day they come back and go, oh, 2 days ago, you know, that story wasn't true. You guys are now de-information because of what came out 2 days later. We can't tell what's going on with that.
Well, last night when aliens landed in my front yard and told me that CNN was full of it, I believed it. But then they landed again this morning and told me that CNN was truthful. So I'm confused, really. And I'm impressed that you know Jen Psaki's, how do you pronounce her
Psaki,
name?
Yeah. I heard about it, and I think it was late Friday it came out, and my jaw just about hit the floor because I was thinking about the stuff that we had talked about, and I was thinking about all the podcasts that we had put out. And, you know, one of the platforms that I think is really emerging in, at least in podcasting, is the fact that we're starting to blend a couple things. You know, we talked about that we just don't always want to talk about politics, but whether we like it or not, it really kind of blends into so many different parts of our life. I mean, it's sports, it's pop culture, it's what goes on with our kids.
It's tech.
And it's one of the things, like, you know, when you turn into Rush Limbaugh, right, you are going to hear politics, and it's all going to be politics. And that's fine, right, that if you want your politics fixed. But I don't really want to sit here and listen to maybe politics all the time. I would like to know somebody talk about how, wow, how does the politics actually, you know, affect sports from the conservative side? Nobody talks about that.
How does it affect technology and everything,
right,
with social media?
And then, you know, obviously we're going to get deplatformed. I've said this all along. I mean, I have no idea when they're going to take down our YouTube or anything else. You know, if they decide, I'll tell you when it's going to be. It's going to be at that prefaces when we start to kind of take off with something. I don't know what it'll be, but we will take off with something. And when it does, I can tell you the wolves will be literally, they'll be let out after us to try to drop us early. Because once you're bigger, they can't do anything about
it. We're
going to
stand in front of a crowd of our supporters and demand that they rush the Capitol with our flags in their hands. No, I'm just... No. Oh, that's Trump. Sorry.
You know, it's on that point. Right even before I came in here, I couldn't. They got a guy for felony, 8 months behind bars, and I couldn't believe I was 38
year old guy, first felony. I mean, he had no right record.
I can't believe this. I mean, listen, I'm not saying that was right. I didn't support that. I don't think anybody does. But the fact that we went out and throw the guy in jail for 8 months on a felony. Now, I don't know the specific details. If he just walked in there with his flag and walked around and then walked out, but if he hurt something or stole somebody or something, that to me is a completely different story. But of course, we never heard.
Well, he stole Nancy Pelosi's seat cushion.
Did
and
he
sniffed it. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Well, yeah. I didn't read that part, but, you know, then he should get 8 months in prison.
He should get 8 months. Should be locked up, locked up for a long time.
Yeah. And, you know, you never hear about the officer in there that shot the Trump supporter that was coming through, that to me, I couldn't believe when I saw that. I can't believe that guy isn't at least put in front of a grand jury. I mean, that to me was...
So I was actually brought in by a committee for Project Veritas. And I was not in charge. I was asked by Christian, one of their producers, to analyze that footage, to look at that footage frame by frame by frame, and to give my opinion on whether she had her back turned to the officer, and whether all kinds of different conclusions. And unfortunately, my conclusion actually shows that she was trying to break through the barrier, and she was in fact guilty of trespassing and whatever else, and she wasn't shot in the back like a lot of people claim she was, and things like that. So I think I can't say though I'd pull the trigger, but I don't know that I would condemn the officer that did.
I don't think I'd condemn the officer that did. I'm just saying if it was the other way around, that guy would be in jail for life. I don't think – because here's what they would have hung his hat on. They're only breaking in. How many times have we heard this on our own personal property? You know,
They're only
breaking in. Just let them steal your stuff and rape your wife. Don't worry about it. Yeah, you know, you can't
just
do
save
that.
Your life. Yeah.
Yeah, just save your life and run away. Right? You have a duty to retreat. Isn't that what we were told? That you don't have a stand your ground law? I mean, where's the stand your ground law here in Washington? Now, I don't know. Listen, I don't know where you draw the line in this. You know, it's pretty hard to sit there and say from the footage, I don't know what the guy was trying to protect or anything else. Okay, so all I'm just simply saying is I am so sick and tired and fed up. And after what I saw come out of, quite frankly, the White House, to me, just disgusts me so much, and it really scares the hell out of me.
Which White House? Trump's or Biden's?
Biden's White House, with Jen Psaki coming out and basically telling these big tech companies to start censoring people that they don't like. And they were actually sending posts, according to her, sending posts over to Facebook they should take down. And keep in mind, there is Supreme Court precedence. You can't do that. That's state-run actions. 1944 and 1947 have both gone through that. You just can't go out and you're an actor of the state. They can't just tell you what to do and then you do it.
So if they're breaking the law, somebody needs to file a lawsuit against the White House for those actions.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, I don't see anybody filing any suit against anything. And, you know, as we talked last week, you know, there's a lot of things that I wanted to talk about, to be honest with you, I'm just geared up with a lot of stuff that isn't being said anymore, and it's being hidden. And when I see what the White House is actually sending over these, the fact that they would go so brazenly to come out and say this in a press conference, what else are they doing that we aren't knowing about? And I'm just thinking about some of the other things, the stories that we're not getting or aren't being put out there. You know, look at the All-Star Baseball game. You know, it was the second lowest rated All-Star Baseball game of all time. And the only reason it wasn't the lowest is because they changed the rating systems to count out of home people watching TV, meaning if you weren't in home, they had changed that from 2019 to 2020. So it's not apples to apples. You take that off, it was the lowest rated. Remember that they weren't going to play in Georgia.
Remember that whole thing? Yeah, yeah.
Everybody forgot about that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you didn't hear about it. And I actually shut it off, and I kind of looked around. And I wonder how many people really remembered it. And to be honest with you, at the time, nobody did. And I didn't even realize
the game happened.
Right. Well, that's great. I would actually be where I was at. I would tell people to shut it off or turn it away. And they go, why? And then I brought up, oh, remember the whole Georgia thing? They go, oh, yeah. Yeah, turn that crap off. And, you know, again, it's about baseball going woke. You see it with the NBA. They're going woke. The more people that you see go woke are continually, you see those ratings dive. You see everything basically. These platforms are crushing. And the fact that I think that really has to, people have to start standing up and really start to dig deep now is go to your sources that are not being, quite frankly, censored. I mean, you can't. Okay, I don't know. So I don't know where you can go
name
anymore.
The sources. I mean, besides
I don't know.
Nobody censors us yet.
Not yet, but I can say this. The only place that you really probably can't be censored is you're going to have to find a site that you like, and you're going to have to stop using places like Yahoo and Google. I mean, I think the real challenge here is to know the sites that you like, whatever they are, and to go to those sites intrinsically. And for us, I think as media personalities, as the people who go out there and give people direct sites, don't go to Google and Yahoo and search them, because they're going to be buried in the list. They're not going to show up. They're going to come far down. They're going to have all sorts of bad ratings, one of the two things. So if we don't put the sites out that we believe give us the best information in the most truthful manner, you're not going to find them. How else would you find them? I mean, look at case in point, look at what's happened with Drudge over the years.
Yeah.
Drudge used to be the guy that would always come up. Remember, you know, he would have been up there front and center on this whole All-Star game. Hey, remember what happened in Georgia? He's become a complete Trump hater. the guy never posted anything about what the true story with the Russian collusion was. Nobody was looking. Now he's just on board like CNN and everywhere else.
It's all about ratings, and it's all about money. It's all about the most viewers. It's all about moderation.
That's really what it is. I 100% agree with you, and I would say this, and I think case in point would be somebody like Trump, Trump and Drudge. I can't imagine Drudge really changing his mind on Trump unless the money wasn't so good. From the CNN, you know, when you're looking at the CNN and ABC and NBC and ESPN and all these other woke channels now, why else?
Why can't he change his mind? I mean, a lot of supporters change their minds. My family, most of my family, voted for him in the first election and then changed their minds in the second
one. I'm not saying change your mind. He was always sort of the truth is, or the other piece of the story is. Now, whatever story came out was just right in lines with CNN and everything else. And if you didn't have Fox News, quite frankly, you never would have had another side of the story.
Well, maybe he changed his mind on what the truth is.
Well, that's fine, but don't you have a fiduciary responsibility as a media person to come out and say, here's two sides of the story, make your decision?
No, he doesn't, actually. I mean, he doesn't have to. I mean, he's a private individual.
I got that part. That's not where he made his name, all right? My point is...
he made his name, and now he's just breaking the money. That's really what it's about. Now, I don't think it's about the truth. I think it's he has a conglomeration of links on his website. I'm looking at it right now. And it's a wide variety of right-wing, left-wing, crazy stuff. And picture of Britney Spears, bald, on the front.
Yeah, I saw that this morning, too. And that was giving Britney the cocktail of... there's a cocktail of drugs that she's getting daily.
Where do I sign up for that?
Yeah, you know, you know, we talked about Britney last time being on here and the conservatorship and however she got into that. And then I always hate these stories when the bodyguard comes out and says, oh, by the way, there was this secret cocktail of stuff, which I don't necessarily listen. I don't deny the fact that the bodyguard's probably seeing more than anybody. And that probably was the case in a lot of this. But I hate these tell-all books, you know, when everything comes out later. Yeah. I think, quite frankly, if you're the bodyguard, I mean, it just, to me, it just takes away from the story. I mean, if you're out there and then you quit, then go give this story. Okay, then you got a lot of credibility. But I think the other one was...
rambling about parallel universes. Is that what... I suppose when you take a cocktail of drugs, parallel universes sounds like it makes sense.
Well... You know, if you're in Britney's world, I mean, think about how many parallel universes you would have. I mean, I could not imagine, you know, when I think about her life, I mean, just as stupid as this sounds, right? We come here, we do a podcast, we do some research, we post it, and we put it up there.
Oh, we're supposed to do research?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we do what we can, and we put it together. But I couldn't imagine actually going into a studio, putting all the singing and all the music and all the other stuff. And then you got to go out and you got to put a dance routine together. Then you got to go out on stage, and then you got to pull it all together. I mean, those are three major components that come together. It's difficult. I mean, you and I know that we've done TV a couple times. And when
we tried the dance thing, but it didn't work.
With the TV stuff that we've done, I mean, the time that we shoot it, we get it edited, you get it graphiced up, you get the audio stuff. I mean, that alone is a beast on its own. And I couldn't imagine, like, and it does sound funny, but I couldn't imagine, like, oh my God, there's a dance routine with this too? I can't do it. I mean, nobody wants to see this.
That has a musical.
Well, there's a way to get canceled right there. Or it could rocket us to the top. Did you see now that SI is coming out with their first transgender model? Going to be on... Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Two things. Transgender modeling now coming out. It's going to be on the latest issue of Sports Illustrated. And if you didn't know, one of the things, if you're a Democrat and you believe in science, there is now the new pregnant man emoji, which is where I'm just...
I thought it was a beer belly.
I actually did too. When I first saw it, I was like, it looks like a beer belly.
Yeah,
and then I saw it was a pregnant man emoji. And I think this is where I've just really hit the wall with the COVID and the science and the spectacle of transgenderism and the pregnant man emoji. If you believe in science, you know, I just went to Subway today, still wearing masks. L.A. putting on masks again. You know, the fear porn continues to go on with the cosmetic theater that we go through all the time that I become sick and tired of. How can you sit here and say that you're anything with science and look at, honestly, take this credibility and say there's a transgender person now in SI and the pregnant man emoji? I can't do it anymore. I honestly, I'm out. Like, I just can't do it. I can't. You cannot look at me and a Democrat and be straight right now and talk to me about science. I'm going to point to the door and say, get out. Because last I knew, there's only one person that can have a baby, and I think it's a female, and
for
I
sure.
think they come out of a vagina. I don't know, but I'm pretty damn sure.
I've seen it.
Go find me a scientist. I would love for CNN, please, go get me a scientist that puts a man on there and tell me how he gives birth.
So here's how I'm guessing they would justify it. They would say that a woman who identifies as a man, who doesn't have a vagina but really secretly has a vagina, would get pregnant by a woman, but she claims to be a woman, but she's really a man. And then, I mean, it's
I know how CNN would portray it, but the fact is, and here's the problem that I'm having, that I'm beginning to lose my mind with it. When you look at California and LA now putting the mask mandate in, which is against what California is recommending, which is against what the CDC is recommending. Now you've got to sit there and say, if I'm a Democrat and I'm inside the party and we were hammering away on science, and we now know that masks are fairly ineffective. When you look at California and New York, the blue states, quite frankly, have been the worst out of the COVID. When you compare that to, say, Texas and Florida, who've done the best job. Now, all these states that were basically nuts about all of this stuff now are flying in the face of science that we're supposed to believe it, but now we're supposed to reject that science. I mean, enough. I've had enough.
So this morning, I watched CNN for about 5 minutes, and they're now recommending that any child over 2 years old that's going to be going to school or going to a group atmosphere type school thing should wear a mask. And I'm thinking,
is this where? Everywhere?
Everywhere. Yeah. This was on CNN this morning.
CNN is saying the CDC,
the CDC is recommending that any child over 2 years old going to a group event like a school or daycare or whatever is recommended to wear a mask.
Was that changed this morning?
I don't know when it was changed.
See, and here's
saw it today.
And let's just say it was changed this morning. All right. As of yesterday, that was not the case. So what I find bothersome is the CDC, quite frankly, can't be trusted anymore. You can't trust the CDC, and the fact that what they've put out there with Fauci and everything else going back and forth. They said it was fine not to wear a mask if you were vaccinated. Now, maybe the crux here is unvaccinated, right?
Well, vaccinations aren't recommended in children under 12. So
says who?
Said the CDC this morning.
Well, the Biden administration is trying to put, we just talked about this last week, that kids under 16, that they were trying to vaccinate them.
Yeah, well, but why? I mean, 12 and under are not recommended.
Listen,
to get this vaccine.
I think even further, I mean, when you look at what the Yankees canceled their game last week because I think it was six players tested for COVID. Why in the hell are we testing players for COVID when they've been vaccinated? We know at this point that the people that have problems with COVID are over the age of 65. You're obese. You have another problem. Those are the people that are at risk. High athletes, if you are under the age of 30 and you are in good shape, you have almost zero to no risk of this at all whatsoever. Period. End of story. That's the science. And leaving the fact that the politics out of it, just follow the data there. That's the part that's becoming so frustrating.
It is. It's changing daily.
And it shouldn't.
And now England, I'm looking at Drudge, England is demanding a vaccination proof for clubs or mass events. So you can't even go to mass events, ball games or anything like that, without proof that you have had a vaccination. I mean, what kind of proof are they looking for? Are they looking for needle marks? Are they looking for a certificate of some sort?
Well, I would even go so far as to say,
how much more Nazi-like can we be here?
Right, and even with the proof that you can get, I mean, how easy is it to fake? I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, I looked at this and I
got a printer.
Yeah, it was funny. I had just pulled out my vaccination card. I left it in my car, and I actually kind of forgot about it. And I thought, well, I better laminate this thing. And I pulled it out. You know what? The hospital forgot to put my name on it. I'm not kidding you. Like, so I have a vaccination card that doesn't have a name on it.
So
I mean, I know it's mine. I know it's mine. So I signed my name to it. I know it's mine. But if I had said this is my vaccination card, they didn't put my name on it. And guess what? It's handwritten to begin with. So how do you know that, you know, the whole damn thing, I could have put it on a printer. And you know, I'm sitting there going, this is what we're going to use as actual proof if anybody actually wanted to see this thing? I mean, come on. I mean, that's like making up your own fake ID when Photoshop first came out in 1995. Let's print this thing out.
Wow, that's crazy. So they would be barred from nightclubs. I'm trying to see here what exactly they consider the ID. Okay, so they don't have any set ID or verification documentation yet. So they're putting into place this regulation, yet they don't have any set documentation.
Yeah,
I guess the clubs are going to be empty. The sports events are going to be empty until people start faking those IDs and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think that stands any chance whatsoever. Only because of there is no system that you can put in place that, quite frankly, you know, for looser terms, government documentation or even global documentation, if they want to go that far, that can't be easily faked.
Well, I think they outlawed it in Iowa. I know that there was a bill that came up and the governor was ready to sign it. I don't remember if it got signed, but they specifically said, we are not going to allow the forcing of passport type documentation for vaccines.
And I think there was a few. I think Florida was another one. Texas was another one. There was a few states that come out and said that they weren't going to allow that. But, you know, what was funny is, you know, last week, I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday, the government is now going to give $300 to people that have children.
I know it, right? I can't wait for my money.
Yeah, and so I'm sitting there going, you know, Iowa was one of the people that pulled out, one of the 14 states that pulled out. We stopped $300 coming in only to get the $300 coming right back. And I just slapped myself. And I go, all these businesses that are dying and trying to get people back, the minute they pull the rogue out on one, they just hand them, and, you know, the left hand stops, here comes the right hand with the other $300. I went, oh, my. And now think of this. We're only one of 14 states that pulled out of this. All the other states are still getting the $300 and the $300. Now, here's the thing. With the supply chain, how it works is, quite frankly, all 50 states have to pull together because we all are probably manufacturing different parts of every car.
Now, when you say it's $300, you're talking about the unemployment.
I'm talking about the unemployment benefit. The unemployment. Yeah. But let's face it. If you have an unemployment benefit of $300, you also probably are going to have kids. So how many people have the unemployment? So now you're right back to your $600, which is all pre-pandemic now we've just right back into that same March situation where we at before, and you're going to have that all the way through December. So that means all these other states, excluding the 14 that we're looking at, that are all that we need parts from to manufacture all these other things, you're still looking at December before you start get back to work. And I've been so busy at our work, everything that we're manufacturing is going out the door, so anything at the inventory levels is not getting restocked. So the lead times are getting longer and longer and longer. Prices are going up. I just got a new chlorine letter today that the price of raw chlorine was going up by 30 cents a pound, roughly. So it was going from, you know, depending on what you're paying, you know, somewhere around $2 is now going to $2.30.
Okay.
You know, no surprise there to anybody. But, you know, you see this stuff, and, when you start looking at what's going on with the supply chain, nothing's changing until at least December. So people are not going to probably be going back to work, I'm going to guess, until sometime in February or March. That's just where we're at.
Not me. I'm starting now, man.
Well, good. I mean, if you start now, at least you're going to get the job you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this isn't going to go on for another year, all right? The clock has now started ticking, I think. I think every time I turn around, there's a new bill to give more money to education or more money to healthcare or something in there.
Now there's the infrastructure to $3 trillion. So was it $3 trillion to the infrastructure they're trying to get passed, or they passed?
Yeah. And did you also see last week that California just did the first UBI? They're going to guarantee $36 million to basically foster kids of all things. Like, I didn't understand this, but to qualify, you had to be a foster child, essentially, in the California system, that you're now going to get a UBI if you qualify for whatever program that is.
So for those that don't read the news, the UBI is, remind me. What's it stand for?
Universal Basic Income.
Okay, so it's a minimum income.
A minimum income. It's one what everybody would like to do. The government career, the Democrat Party would like to say, hey, you know what? Everybody's going to make $80,000 a year. So everybody makes $80,000 a year. Now, I don't know what this UBI for them is, that universal basic income is for these people, but they're going to pay for it out of tax-funded dollars. I mean, I don't understand how you can continue
out
to
live in... Out of California
in,
tax dollars?
Yeah.
Not the U.S. or anything. It has Can't to be, California.
No, but it's here's the problem.
They were already running deficits.
This is the problem that I'm going to have, and I don't know how you do this, because obviously, as a union, we're not going to let a state fall, but on the other side... As a union, we can't let somebody like California go off the rails, bankrupt their state with stupid stuff like this, because and then have federal dollars come back in to backfill. We didn't vote for them to give $36 million on UBI or to pay for health care for illegals, which they're now doing. We didn't. They've bankrupted their system from stupid decisions that we are going to have to bail them out, because nobody in their right mind is going to let a state fail that joined the union.
No.
Whether we like that fact or not, that's the way it's going to be.
Did you say 36 billion or million?
Million, 36, 36 million.
Million. Well, at least it's not billion or you know, a lot more money. I'm surprised that it wasn't.
Yeah, I was too. I didn't know how they came up with 36 million. I didn't know how many people were in this program, but it is the first state-funded program that gives a UBI. Really since the 60s. I guess the Nixon era kind of came in and they were monkeying around with it back then, but didn't really stick. Weird. I can't imagine.
What do you think the next state to do the UBI is going to be?
I really can't see it. I can't see it grabbing hold anywhere other than California. I mean, because somebody has to pay for that, and I can't imagine even in New York. I mean, honestly, you know, when you look at New York, if you really haven't looked at the demographics, and you have to pull it up state by or county by county, quite frankly, the only thing that's making New York as crazy it is New York City. If you took New York City out of that whole picture, New York would be a Republican state. It's a fairly Republican state, especially upper New York and some of the other areas. And when I looked at it county by county and you took that out of there, it was a pretty kind of shocking to me when I looked at it. You know, one of the other shocking stats that I heard, that there was more votes in California for Trump than there were more votes for Trump in Texas. Same type of thing.
Say that again. There were more votes for
Trump
in California than in Texas.
Than in Texas.
Well, that's just a statistical issue then. How many more people live in California than Texas?
Right. It could be. But, yeah. You know, when you think about it, you know, they you know, you look at the numbers there, you know, this is the garbage that's reported out there that, like, you and I will bring up, oh, okay, that's fine, right? So who cares how many people that were, you know, that voted more in California? But percentage-wise, I would be surprised if the percentage is right. The percentage, if you change that to a percentage. Yeah. If you said there was a higher percentage,
that would shock me. Yeah.
But just to say there's more votes, that doesn't shock me, because if there's more people, then of course there's going to be more votes. It's the same type of games and wordsmithing that they do all the time that just drives me crazy.
Absolutely. Hey, let's take a break here quick. Let's collect some money from our sponsors, if we can get some sponsors this time, and we'll be right back. I think we're back. Yes, we're back. Fathead is back from a break. Wow, you enlightened me to some interesting information today. I had not seen the British Open video of McIlroy's club being stolen.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this video, go take 2 minutes out of your life and go watch this, because it's probably one of the greatest deadpan stunts I've ever seen. Basically, the spectator walks up on the tee of the British Open, Roy McIlroy, pulls his driver out, pulls the club head off, throws it down, and acts like he's going to tee off the thing. And nobody really knows what's going on. I mean, he just literally walks out on the tee, and I think it stuns everybody. And the guy does it so... It's just so deadpan. Like,
it's like he owns the place.
Like, yeah. He was just lining up to do it, and I thought it was great. I think when it comes to British humor, I think that was like one of the perfect pranks ever to pull. I don't know what's happened to the guy. I think he's got arrested, but, you know, the British Open always has stuff like that. I think it was a couple years ago when I was telling you earlier, Monty, the guys you're doing the practice swing, and the guy was like, oh, and it was great. They were harassing, you know, all the golfers that came up there, which I always think is a little bit great for golf. I've been out to the Waste Management Tour on the 16th. And if you've never seen the 16th at the Waste Management, which is in Scottsdale, that's the one back, I think it was in 1999, where Tiger Woods hit his hole in one. It was, it's turned into this massive coliseum, and getting to the 16th, I mean, this is a whole, I could do a whole podcast just on the Waste Management Tour itself, because I had saw this and I had heard that basically it was, you know, I saw like one of the top 10 events to go to in your sporting life. And somewhere right around five roughly was the 16th at Waste Management. And if you've never seen anything like it, it's a golf course, and it is a slamming party from about 4 a.m. to about 4 p.m. I mean, it is they have a DJ on there, and it is the oddest thing in golf, and it is fantastic.
They have a DJ on a golf course.
They have a DJ on a golf course. Now, obviously, the DJ shuts down right around 9 o'clock, and so what happens is they've built literally a coliseum around the 16th. So if you haven't seen it, go, you know, search the.
Are you not entertained?
Oh yeah, yeah. And and there's a whole flag planting ceremony on the 16th where the guy, you know, marches it down to Star Wars, and there's a whole ceremony to the thing. And the 16th at Waste Management, if you ever get a chance, it's unlike anything you have ever seen, especially when it comes to golf. It is literally Happy Gilmore.
I mean, that's what I was gonna say. Has Adam Sandler been there?
It's just like that. And I don't know how you sit there and you play. I couldn't imagine being a golfer, because for the most part, you know, you're out in the course, and if you've never been to a golf tournament, they're pretty cool to do, and you can get into them at all levels, you know, anywhere from $50 up to about $1,500, depending on, you know, if you want the tent and the food and, you know, what type of experience you want. So they provide all these different levels of experiences that you can go to, provided by the PGA.
Hookers and blow package. Is that available?
I think that could be there.
On the 16th?
Yeah. Well, that would be the John Daly Tour.
But, okay.
I don't know if that's still going these days, but if it
is.
Oh,
I'm sure it is.
I would recommend that. Well, that's probably a pretty good one. But for the most part, you go to the PGA Tours, and they have all these types of hospitality suites, and you get different levels of stuff. So, you know, they basically kind of, you know, the wristbands, and you pick, you know, I want to go to this hole. And
what color wristband would they give you for the Hookers and Blow Tour?
I think you'd get the loudmouth pants.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that would get you in pretty much anywhere.
That'd be funny. That's interesting. So talking about sports, the Olympics are coming up here.
Yeah.
And I guess the U.S. gymnast has tested positive, and Japan is just freaking out. They're just freaking out. They're not allowing spectators, no family, no friends of the Olympics, of the sports.
I don't even understand the point of the Olympics right now. I was just saying that earlier. They're
like,
a year delayed, and everybody's in left field with this. I see Toyota has now just pulled out their sponsorship with the IOC, and they've been sponsored the IOC up to then. And you know, there's so much fear porn around COVID. And I'm finally seeing, you know, it's nice to see other communities or other international countries have the same problems that we're having, where half the country is like, the other half is just stupid. And, you know, a virus is going to spread as a virus is going to spread. The virus is going to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it.
Sure.
Forget the mask. They're not going to do anything. They haven't done anything. You can look at the data now. You can look at even, you know, our states here. Look at California. Look at New York. Compare them against Texas and Florida, who are wide open. Didn't do a damn thing. Look at Japan is a perfect example, where everybody was freaking.
They were wearing masks before COVID.
Right, right. And they were all pointing, oh, look at the Mecca. That it's all been the mask. Well, guess what? Guess what happened? The virus is outbreaking.
Absolutely.
And they're still wearing masks, and they were crazy about it over there. So let's stop with the pretending that the masks do anything other than cosmetic theater. Enough's enough.
You know, I was looking at this story, and right underneath the Olympic story was this picture of bald Britney Spears. And I was thinking to myself, just off the cuff, I didn't know she was a swimmer in the Olympics. Thought she shaved her head and she was going to qualify for the Olympics.
I feel bad for all the people that want to, you know, that wanted to get to the Olympics, but you know, I'm just at the point that I'm not going to watch. I really don't care.
I gave up those aspirations years ago.
Well, you know what? I like it. I like the fan interaction. I like, you know, I've always wanted to go to the Olympics. I think it's one of those things that, you know, I'd love to see. I'd love to do. I think a lot of people would. you know, I just, politics has just gone too far and it's wrecked too many things. And until sports regains its composure and starts getting out of politics, it's gonna continue to kill. And I think one of the reasons that, we talked about the NBA earlier, wokeness has killed them. We talked about the MLB, wokeness has killed them. And now you look at the Olympics and how wokeness is going to kill them as well.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, what, $4 or $5 billion into the IOC that is now going to tank everything. When Toyota pulls out, that was sponsoring everything up there, ought to be the big red flag right there that we got a problem.
So did you see, we live here in Iowa, if you guys don't know that. Jason and I both live here in Iowa, for the most part. And the Field of Dreams is building that Major League Baseball park up in Dyersville by the original Field of Dreams park. And there's a lottery that Iowans can go to win the first tickets to the first game at the Field of Dreams. And I entered this lottery. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. But if you're an Iowa resident, you can go and enter for your chance to be at the first game at the world at that park. And I think that idea sounds fantastic. Bring my family and stuff to that.
They were supposed to be great last year, right?
They were supposed to. Yeah.
They're not building a stadium, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I thought it was on the Field of Dreams.
No, it's not. They built a completely separate field away from the original Field of Dreams because they want to preserve that site. And they built a completely original field.
Well, that's just stupid.
They got a lot of sponsorships. I mean, I don't think they had to use any taxpayers' money for it. It's Iowa's first Major League Baseball game.
As I understood that game, I understood that game as it was last year, as it was built out. I think it was 2 years ago, because when it first broke, everybody wanted that ticket. And I know I went and I looked at tickets, and at the time, I want to say, man, this must have been 2019 when it was right around January or something they announced that. And everybody went and the tickets opened up, and they were like $5,000 a ticket.
Oof, wow.
At that time, it was supposed to be played on the original. Now, as I understood it, now I might have that wrong. Okay, a little clarification there. I'm reading, what they're telling me at that time. I just don't want to get, deplatformed because of misinformation from stuff 2 years ago, just so we're clear, at that time, if true.
You recollect it that way, yes.
Yeah, I recollect it that way. I didn't know that they had built another stadium for that.
Yeah. If you Google it, it's in fact it's on CNN and those.
I think that's kind of crappy. I thought they were gonna.
I thought it was neat.
I think it's totally crappy. What a ripoff!
It's free. You go to the game for free if you win the tickets.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about building the stadium. What a rip! I mean, the whole point of Dyersville was to put the teams on the original field.
Well, they still do that.
Let the pros play there, man.
It's not a regulation size field.
Oh, so don't make it a regulation game. I mean,
are you going to have the Chicago Cubs playing on some little tiny dinky field?
Who was it? Was it the White Sox Mets?
I have no idea.
It has to be the White Sox because it was Shoeless Joe Jackson. So it was, and that was the original movie, and I can't remember who the other one was. I thought it was the Mets, but I could be wrong on that. But I was thinking it was I think it's the Yankees.
I think it was the Yankees.
A New York. So it's.
I don't know. I thought it was a neat idea. Now I've been there to Dyersville several times. In fact, Netflix has this huge inflatable screen that they take around the country and they show movies on it. So many years ago, Kevin Costner was there for a viewing of Field of Dreams on the Field of Dreams. So they inflated this big thing on the baseball field. And Kevin Costner was there watching the movie with fans. And it was packed. Everybody had their lawn chairs and blankets and everything. And it was epic. Yeah, absolutely epic. Very. My wife got to shake hands with him and meet him and stuff like that. And I was within like 5 feet of him. But it was pretty cool.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Let's do something new this week. Let's take a time to punch our socials, shall we? I'm Jason Van Zetten over at Instagram. And the reason I wanted to bring up, because did you post a... drone footage over in...
Of the Mississippi River.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah,
I saw that on your Instagram, and I wanted to I wanted to start kind of plugging that. I thought that was actually really good. I mean, was that a castle that you were shooting, or was
it was the Dubuque Memorial, Ferdinand Dubuque, I think his name is, or something like that.
Well, if you haven't seen it, go over and what is your Instagram on?
It is.
Is that your main plug? Right now, I'm plugging. You know, I'm not going to do anything else other than Instagram. I like Instagram the best. So
I do too. I TikTok, I'm on too, but.
TikTok would probably be better for us, but I really don't want to take the time. I like Instagram. I stick with Instagram.
So I am Monty, M-O-N-T-E, Dale, D-A-L-E-G. Monty Dale G.
And honestly, if you haven't seen it, go take a look at this footage because it's actually pretty damn good footage. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, when you go out and people plug other people's stuff and you go, oh, God, you know what? This stuff is terrible. You know, and I that's one of the things that I really hate, and I hope that we never get into is plugging a terrible product or something like that. That's something that we wouldn't stand behind. That's
true. I always like watching you tease people at Dairy Queen on your Instagram, my daughter in particular. And I like your flying videos too. You know, when you take your son flying with you in the Cessna, or not a Cessna. That's what is it?
You know what? I'm just monkeying around with different things. So you can catch me over on Instagram. It's Jason Van Zetten, V-A-N-Z-E-T-T-E-N. And then certainly check out Monty's footage over there because we do different things on there. We probably should. I'm a little all over the board with my Instagram. You know, and that's kind of the way I like it. I mean, I don't think it has to always be one sticky, stupid thing.
My son and I one more quick story. We went storm chasing. We're storm chasers. We're storm spotters. We're trained storm spotters. And so this last week we went and chased tornadoes the night that we did our record our last podcast, and we ended up driving through an EF1 tornado through the actual tornado.
You guys must have went away. So, because you threw me out of here, you're like, I got to go.
Yeah,
we did. And I was like, okay. And he's like, well, I'm going to go chase storms. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
The drone's not going to do so well there, but all right.
No, we didn't fly the drone. But we drove through it in the Mustang. And I tell you what, it was a little frightening for a little bit there.
You had to go a little bit north. I mean, those storms.
It was a long north, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was looking at where the storm cells were, and they were way north. I mean, they weren't close to here.
And we were northeast of Marshalltown. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun.
Do you have any footage?
Yeah, the footage. I'll put footage up on Instagram.
There you go.
And the other thing is now I forgot what I was going to say. All right. Well, hey, this has been Monty and Jason for Fathead. And if you have suggestions for any future podcast, be it subjects, topics, anything at all, please go to anchor.fm/fathead, and you can actually send us a voicemail. It's a cool feature. Check it out. Send us a voicemail of what you want to hear about next. So thank you very much for listening. Make sure to subscribe and tell your friends all about us.